From the land to Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of July, 2026. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson at TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Wheat futures blasted higher today. That not on a production issue, but some problems that are taking place again in the Black Sea area. We'll take that up with him, and then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast. As it happens, the Black Sea is expected to raise a pretty good wheat crop this year. We'll talk about that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and the weather in that area, but more importantly, the weather in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, where the expectations have been that the heat will be a real issue for Minnesota and North Dakota, parts of South Dakota, and Drew Lerner will help us try to figure out what that really means as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. That is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Greg Johnson now joins us from TGM. He's at Total Grain Marketing. That's part of the elevator system located in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. Thanks much for being with us. It's a little up day in the marketplace, at least as you and I are talking. I'm on my way to Kansas City, so just as a reminder, that's why we don't have an update of the numbers for the afternoon and the actual settlement prices. But have farmers changed their tune about whether this price is worthwhile or not yet?
You know, the crops in central Illinois look pretty good. Obviously, we've got some drowned out spots and some variability. But in general, I think farmers are confident enough that they're going to have something to sell that they now will focus on rewarding the market anytime it rallies and trying to sell a little bit of corn and beans into that strength. And we are seeing that strength today being provided by of all people, of all countries, Russia. They are responding to some of the attacks that the Ukraine has been inflicting on them. Russia is bombing the ports of Odessa, and that is disrupting grain flows and fertilizer flows out of the port of Odessa. And so wheat prices, as a result, have been up 35, 40 cents today. And that strength in wheat has spilled over into corn. Corn's been up anywhere from 5 to 9 cents. Beans have been up 5 to 10 cents. So, you know, the corn and the beans really don't have a story on their own. The weather looks fairly non-threatening, as it is every summer. You've got some areas that are dry and could use some rain, and then you've got other areas that have plenty of rain, and some areas have too much rain. But this is not a weather-driven rally today. This is more of a supply-driven concern with Russia attacking the ports in Odessa. So farmers feel a little bit more comfortable that they're going to have something to sell, and are now it's just a question of what price do they decide to let loose of some of the old crop and new crop, corn and beans. Beans are only a dime off of contract highs. Corn, we're getting back finally into the upper half of the range, but we're not near the old highs yet. But at least we've gained some of it back. And like I say, with farmers feeling pretty good about their crop prospects here, you know, a few more rains in July and a few more rains in August. And you know, farmers feel pretty comfortable that they're going to have something to sell. So farmer selling has picked up a tick this morning as a result of the Russian bombing of Odessa.
Yeah, this comes on top of a sustained campaign that Ukraine has had in the Sea of Azov, which is shutting off wheat exports from Russia through the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov, both combined together. And that could cause a real issue. It feels like that might be the one for the summertime to really watch. I'm not sure that's the case yet, because I suppose weather can always step in at any point. But the last time around, when this war between Ukraine and Russia first started, wheat was the harbinger, really, of the issues. I doubt that this time around that's going to be that big a problem, because the it appears we have a pretty good way to move crop in different channels across the planet. But maybe you have some better idea, more concerns about what issues could take place.
Well, I think what we'll have to keep track of and keep an eye on is basis levels for actual cash wheat in the Middle East. If you know, the futures market is one thing, but if somebody really needs a boatload of wheat, you know, if we see cash basis levels, you know, $10 to $15 a ton more than what the Board of Trade price is, that's indicative that wheat's having trouble getting through. We're already seeing that in the crude oil market. Spot oil is probably trading $10 to $11 a barrel higher than what it's trading on the futures exchange. So that's another indication that things are a little tight in places. Usually that works itself out, but in the short run, we could see some increased demand as people want to just get a hold of the actual physical commodity, whether that's fertilizer, wheat, oil, you name it. Sometimes cash, you know, something a bird in hand is worth two in the bush.
So you'll have to, and you'll have to help me out. If I recall, Black Sea wheat is traded at the CME Group in Chicago, and you should be able to look at some of that, I suppose.
Again, yeah, the futures price, but the cash price, that, you know, that's more, you know, person to person, you know, it's more of an individual thing of, you know, because if you trade something on the CME, yeah, you can take delivery of something in August or September, but if you need it this week or this month, just being long futures really doesn't ensure you a supply. So that's when basis comes into play. And like I say, if we're seeing cash basis levels dramatically higher than the futures price, that's indicative that the traders are or that the end users are concerned about getting their supply. And like I said, I don't know that that's the case, but that's definitely something to keep an eye on.
We will keep watching that. I know you will as well. Soybeans look as good as the corn in our area or not?
No, they just don't handle the wet weather near as well. The corn is farther along. For the most part, even though we planted beans earlier, their beans just aren't as small or aren't as tall as the corn. And I think the corn can handle some wet weather a little bit more than the beans can. We saw the weekly crop ratings drop another 2 points for soybeans here in the state of Illinois, whereas corn stayed steady. Granted, at 58%, it's relatively low, but at least it didn't decline, whereas the bean number declined another 2 points. So it certainly feels like bean crop isn't as good as what we'd like it to be. But again, you know, if we get some rain in August, you know, I think we'll be fine.
What else are you watching at this time in the marketplace?
The funds have been extremely short corn. Just last week, they bought back their short position, and they have a slight long position in corn going into the most critical, I would say, 4 to 6 weeks of the growing season. You know, it's unusual for the funds to be short going into the pollination and grain filling stage of the production cycle. So will the funds add to their longs, or will they just, you know, will they just be content to be even on corn? They've got a very long, large long soybean position, but corn is the question mark. You know, will they get long corn, or will they just stay basically neutral?
Do we have any answers for that yet?
You never, I don't know. I've been doing this for 35 years, and I can't outguess the funds. They have their algorithmic trades formulas, and I don't know what trips their trigger, and I don't know that anybody does, but we'll certainly keep an eye on that and see. But it would be nice if the funds would decide to get a little bit longer corn, because I think that would be an opportunity for farmers to make some catch-up sales, especially on this new crop.
Now, finally, last week, I think it was you when we were talking, we talked maybe 20 days out at that point, or at least at the end of the July, if the fundamentals really didn't change, that would be where elevators began to look at forward, thinking about space and basis might begin to break. Still in that thought process for you?
We haven't figured out for sure what size crop we have yet. It's looking good. The offset to that, though, is that there is demand. You know, I don't know, China has been buying a few boatloads of beans here and there. Corn exports have been relatively good. It looks like there's going to be a fall export program. So The demand is there. Now, obviously, we won't have enough demand to offset a big crop, but if we just have an average crop or slightly below average crop, then we might have enough storage space and basis levels may not need to weaken a whole lot. So the jury's still out on that, but at least there's some positive things that could influence the basis to not get any weaker.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome. That's Greg Johnson. He's with TGN. That's Total Grain Marketing at the Elevator here in Champaign County. Now, a couple of things to keep in mind. Tomorrow, there are two events. One of them online is a webinar. I'll tell you about that in a moment. The other is the Illinois Soybean Association's Farm Field Day that's being held outside of Hayworth at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon through 6:15. You can still sign up for that one or at least show up. Check it out on our website in the calendar of events. There'll be a couple of people there from the University of Illinois, including Ileana Monteverde, who you heard last week, talking about soybean breeding and the importance of the breeding program here on campus and some of the traits that you probably can find in your fields today. And maybe next spring, too, you'll want to hear what she has to say. And Connor Sybil will be there talking about using tissue tests. You want to find out more about that at the Illinois Soybean Association Agronomy Farm Field Day. You can register and find all the details on our website at willag.org in the calendar, or check out the Illinois Soybean Association website at ilsoy.org. Now, the other item tomorrow at 11 a.m. is the Enhancing Farm Efficiency and Sustainability with AI webinar. You can find out more of those details for that hour-long webinar on the FarmDoc website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu under events. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hello, Drew. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Yeah, well, thanks for the opportunity to share my wares.
Well, let's talk about your wares. I want to discuss the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. It has been dry. There is concern, I think, in Nebraska, some, the two Dakotas particularly, maybe parts of Minnesota, though you can tell me about that. I am thinking through what the crop progress report looked like on Monday of this week from USDA. I believe the number for North Dakota was 71% good to excellent for corn. Regardless, the corn crop I know was in really good condition there going into some really, really high temperatures. So what I want to know is where these high temperatures took place, how dry it is across the state, and whether the Red River Valley is different than the more western part of North Dakota.
Wow, that was a loaded question. All right, let's see what we can do with that. Indeed, I agree with the USDA ratings. You know, this heat and dryness really just kind of set in the last week. So I wouldn't expect to see a lot of deterioration, especially not in the eastern parts of the Dakotas or western Minnesota. Most of the excessive heat that occurred here in the past week was really in Montana and central and western parts of South Dakota and southwestern North Dakota. And those areas have seen a steady decline in crop conditions, and the spring wheat rating in Montana was way off. And, you know, there's a lot of crops out there to the west that are really taking it on the chin. It was already dry in Montana. It was dry in parts of South Dakota before we got started with the heat. And so I think what you're going to find is that the impact will start showing up in next week's USDA numbers and probably the following week too, if we do not get some rain to occur between now and then. And it looks pretty doubtful at the moment. The next 10 days are still looking pretty poor for getting some rain across parts of that region we just described here, eastern Montana, a big part of North Dakota, but and also central and western South Dakota. But you mentioned isolating the Red River Basin area, and I think that's really smart because it's a different world there right now. The conditions are much better there. It hasn't been exceptionally hot. I think the warmest temperatures have been in the 90s a couple of times, mostly lower 90s. And the moisture profile hasn't been too bad. There's some pockets that didn't do well. But if you recall, right before the heat wave arrived, The northeast and east central parts of South Dakota and some counties over the line in Minnesota got slaughtered with a 2 to 5 inch plus rain event. And that's really carried the crops really well through this, at least an initial period of hot and dry weather. So it is a different world there in the Red River Basin. There are definitely some pockets that have not seen quite as much moisture as others, but it's going to take another week to week and a half before we really do any kind of harm in those particular areas, especially since the hottest weather is still going to be more of the Missouri River Valley rather than the Red River Basin. So I do think we're going to hang in there fairly well in some of that region, but we do have 10 days yet of 90 and lower 100 degree temperatures just to the west of that, and it will be stressful.
Well, tell me about the Missouri River Valley as it stretches for through South Dakota, Nebraska, parts of Iowa, along the top of Missouri.
Yeah, I think probably that middle Missouri River Basin area is probably also in favorable shape, whereas the upper part of the Missouri is the area that's really feeling the heat and the dryness. The middle Missouri is certainly drying down. We've had some issues with dryness in Nebraska frequently over the course of the summer, or actually even the spring. And so moisture profiles are a little off in some of those areas, and it wouldn't take too much of a hot, dry pattern to really push some of those crops over the edge a bit. So we do need to watch that region too, but I think as of today, the situation is stressful, but not a problem. And in the forecast, with another 10 days to go with not much moisture, we're probably going to see that area continue to dry down. But when you step back and you look at the August outlook, you got to kind of, you know, say, hey, wait, let's not get too carried away. Because in August, a couple things are going to happen. We're going to have a trough of low pressure over the eastern part of North America, and that's going to trail frontal systems into the central part of the United States. And that is going to attract the monsoon moisture from the Rocky Mountains and pull it into the central plains. So I think what will end up happening in August is we'll shave down the driest areas and isolate it more centered on maybe South Dakota, and then allowing Nebraska and parts of Kansas and western Iowa to do a little bit better.
We've talked a lot about the far western part of the Corn Belt. What about the center part of the Corn Belt, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, those places?
Yeah, you know, I think the moisture profile in those areas is pretty good at the moment. The biggest thing that runs in the back of my mind is the fact that we had so much excessive rain and flooding at times earlier in the season, and it was cool. Not a really good environment for the best yielding corn, and soybeans too need some drier and warmer bias conditions. So even though the crop is looking good and it's probably doing all right, it's probably not the best crop, and we'll need to add a little heat, and we'll need to maybe take some of those wetter biased areas and give them a chance to dry down just a little bit. But we don't want to get too carried away and get too hot and dry. But I don't see anything like that happening in the central or eastern Midwest.
And the crop production or crop progress reports on Monday showed that the eastern part of the Corn Belt actually was not in as good a condition as many of the western states. I think that surprised me to some extent. Particularly Illinois was lagging behind Iowa and Minnesota, of course. Now turn your attention to someplace that has had problems and continues to have problems. Can you update me on crops in France and Western Europe?
Absolutely. France and the UK both have had less than half of normal rainfall since the beginning of April. And in the most recent 90-day period, the central two-thirds of France has had 25% of normal rainfall or less. So that's just the precipitation bias, and then you got to throw in the temperatures. And of course, from mid-June to early July, it was crazy hot, as you know, and a very stressful environment. The only thing that really helped the crops in France was the fact that the winter was good, and we had plenty of moisture around. Coming into spring, there was no excessive heat, and there was plenty of moisture around. The winter crops did perform okay. Now, we did lose yield, don't get me wrong, but it could have been a much bigger disaster had they encountered heat like they did last year in the spring, that would have really caused a huge issue. So the winter wheat and the rapeseed probably did okay. They lost yield. It's not as big a crop as it should have been, but it's not a disaster. Now, the summer crops is a whole different ball game, and probably the one crop that's going to be hurt most seriously in the UK and France and probably parts of Germany and Belgium and the Netherlands is sugar beets. And they will be notably reduced in size this year, and definitely a smaller crop. If this pattern continues, and it, right now it looks like they've got 10 days. In fact, I think the UK is advertised to go 2 weeks without much moisture, not more than a half inch of precipitation. And France is going to get a little bit of rain today into Saturday morning. Central areas of that country will probably pick up an inch or a little bit more. But it then goes dry again for the following week. So a temporary reprieve, but no major fix.
And then check in on the Black Sea area. Futures in Chicago really pushing for wheat futures higher today. That on an increase in violence between Ukraine and Russia, particularly as it relates to both ports and seagoing ships, which would potentially have an issue related to getting a good or a bad crop out of those areas. What do you see at this point as it's related to the crops and the weather?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, maybe there'll be heavy missile falling or something like that will take place. I don't know. Anyway, but no, from a weather perspective, it's been a great year in much of Ukraine and Russia's southern region. There was good moisture in the spring. There hasn't been any excessive heat. It's a little dry now, but this is crop maturation harvest season. So it's really a good scenario, at least from a wheat and a rapeseed perspective, barley too. From a summer crop perspective, it is going to be important that we pick up a little bit more moisture. Maybe a little bit of the spring wheat in the south there is going to need some moisture, but I don't see any of this as being really a big issue. It is about the war. As far as the rest of the spring wheat and sunseed production areas, which are off into the new lands and maybe northern Kazakhstan, that area has had just an amazing amount of rainfall this season, and there's probably some wet weather disease there. And perhaps a little loss in yield potential will occur because it just continues to rain. But the primary production areas in the southern part of Russia are probably in better shape.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it a lot.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, scroll down and you'll find the latest information from the agricultural economist, the crop scientist, and the animal scientist right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. And in the calendar, you'll find all of the agronomy days and many other events that are taking place this summer across the state of Illinois, in which University of Illinois Extension is involved. I'm Todd Gleason.